Everybody, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. Dave Johnson here, joined by Judge Mac McIntyre.
How can do.
Michael Staley.
Hola.
And Eric Asperschlager.
Hello.
And do you know how this works? We'll kill some time and send you off in your weekend fat and happy. So, Michael, we haven't heard from you in a while. Why don't you up to what have you been concerning yourself with lately?
I am not so fat.
Okay.
And relatively
but you are happy, right?
Relatively happy, yes. I am jovial, yes.
Okay, that's good.
Yes. What have I been doing? Acclimating to life in North Carolina.
Have you been doing some acting by any chance?
I had a major audition for an equity theater company here in town, so that was very cool. I got a chance to, you know, play a little bit, but nice. We won't know about that. Their season doesn't start until September, so we'll see.
Nice. Well, good luck with that. From all of us here at the Friday Filibuster.
Thank you very much.
So, anything interesting that you've viewed entertainment-wise?
No, I am way behind on my movies, so I have been stuck doing some of the stuff that the Verdict staff kind of lets fall through the cracks, so I've been kind of the cartoon king as of late. So I'm Tennessee Tuxedo, Underdog, classic Hanna-Barbera from the 70s, so my brain is pretty much mush right about now.
It doesn't help that they tend to be incoherent anyway, right?
Oh, and so repetitive. I mean, everything was just pretty much the same. It's just a variation on a theme. So, but as a kid, I loved this stuff. So I don't know if I was just warped or, you know, maybe a child's sensibilities are quite different.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
I think there was just less to choose from back then.
That's true.
That's true.
And maybe the animators and creators knew that, so they just mailed it in constantly. You know? Yeah.
Well, Hanna-Barbera was a factory. You know, they churned out a lot of stuff.
And they're kind of like the Shaw Brothers of animation.
Yeah, you can put it that way.
Nice. All right. Well, sounds like. And, you know, instead of listening to unending Underdog reviews, maybe we'll move on. Let's just, anything pressing you at any TV? Oh, yeah, how about that? Any TV wrap-ups
I got into Smash, which was the kind of the adult version of Glee, which took place on Broadway, and had much more sleeping together and, you know,
sure,
backbiting and stuff like that. But I was entertained probably because I know a lot of the people that, you know, that the show is based on. Those characters are real people in many respects. So it was good, and they'll be coming back next year, so I'm interested to see what they do with it.
Right. Are you a fan of the musical TV show?
I am a fan of musical theater.
Wait, was that actual musical? Like,
yeah.
Oh, that was.
Yeah, okay. Mark Shaiman, who had done a lot of work. He had done the City Slickers score. He had done the music for the original South Park movie. Very talented composer. He's been doing Broadway. He did Hairspray. He did Catch Me If You Can. And he and his writing partner did all the music for this Marilyn Monroe musical on Smash. So, good stuff.
All right. Nice. Okay. Mac, how about you? What's happening?
Not too much. I wanted to make it out to the movies this week, but just didn't have time.
What would you have seen if you had made it out to the movies?
I'm really curious about Men in Black 3. Like I said, I wasn't expecting much, but the trailer really made me laugh a lot, so I'm thinking I kind of want to see it. But other than that, it was the holiday weekend, but I had to work, so there's that. One thing we never got around to talking about, it's a couple weeks ago, but on the show here, I never talked about the Castle season finale.
Oh, okay. Was it as earth-shattering as last year's?
It wasn't quite the punch to the gut as last year's. It was different. But it really pays off a lot of what had been building up over the season, but in a different way. So last year's season finale was all like conspiracies and gunfights and murder and shocking, and this one's went in a different direction. I'm trying not to spoil it here, but it was really good. And of course, the big question mark is where do they go now? You know, because it's like, how on earth are they going to do a fifth season now that they've gone where they've gone with the characters? So. But it was really good, really great sort of final third overall to the season. You know, they were experimenting with these theme episodes. So when they got around to the zombie episode, I'm like, how are they going to do this? But it was actually pretty funny. So that one was good too.
Do they need a showrunner? Because Dan Harmon's looking for a job.
he could write a great episode of Castle.
And then he'll get in a swearing match with Nathan Fillion, right?
Right.
All right. Well, Eric, what do you got?
I got a bit of old news.
All right, old news.
Old news, Eric. I finally, well, I saw Donnie Darko for the first time.
Ah, I saw the sequel. I reviewed the sequel for the site, not having seen the original, so
yikes.
I'm very interested in your review here.
Well, this is, I think I was just one of those movies. I was, I think, a bit too old for the, I don't know, I wasn't at the right age. I wasn't in high school when it came out, so it wasn't right. The most important movie in the world to me. Like I, apparently it is. It's a weird movie. It was, I enjoyed watching it until the last, like, 5 minutes. Part of it was, and it's got a really kind of weird, kind of surreal, dreamlike quality, and there's an interesting premise, time travel premise, and then you get to the end, and it has a very ambiguous payoff that works in some ways, but I think the fact that it was very late, I was tired, but it was so close to the end, I wanted to just finish it before I went to bed, and it was one of those things where I didn't feel like it was worth me, having, you know, lost sleep to watch the end of it, but, it's definitely, it's a weird little movie. I can see why people like it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that movie.
Yeah,
if you watch it and pay really, really close attention, you can kind of connect the dots.
Yeah, because I needed to go to bed right away, I of course hopped on the internet immediately after it was over and tried to figure out what just happened. But yeah, I mean, I knew very little going in, despite it coming out in the early 2000s. I knew Jake Gyllenhaal was in it. I knew there was like a weird rabbit and that was really it. So, you know, I guess I'm fortunate that I didn't have certain twists or whatever spoiled, although it's so weird that I'm not sure that would have made much of a difference. But no, I enjoyed watching it. It was kind of weird and fun, but.
All right. Weird and fun is good. What was I going to say? Oh yes. Thanks to Mac's generosity. I was able to take a peek at Sherlock season 2.
Oh, nice.
And quite excellent. Quite excellent. I had heard like rumblings that the season wasn't as strong, but man, I thought all three episodes were great. I thought that finale, Mac, was just edge of your seat stuff.
It was, yeah.
Really amazing great, you know, a big question mark at the end it was like, you know, I immediately started looking at theories and whatnot. I think there are clues to figure out how things went down, so to speak. So, I don't know, just an excellent wrap to the show. And it's probably going to be a while before they get to the third season because both those guys are pretty busy with feature films.
Yeah.
I guess Benedict Cumberbatch or whatever to pronounce his last name is, he's in Star Trek. I think is he in the Hobbit?
Yeah, they're both in the Hobbit.
Yeah. So,
and Stephen Moffat, the producer, is still working on Doctor Who as well.
So, yeah, so it'll be a while, but just top rate. I mean, like, a show that's in a different league than other, you know, mysteries. So
it is. It's really great.
Even my man George Gently can't compete with Sherlock. So,
hey, Dave, I have a question for you, Dave.
Yeah.
Sherlock or young Sherlock Holmes?
Ah. That'd be an excellent square off, but just because I still – I'm freaked the heck out by the Egyptian sacrifice scenes in Sherlock Holmes. I'll go with Sherlock.
Okay, fair enough.
So,
Dave, have you seen the trailers yet for the American version of Sherlock that's coming out?
Are you really? Are you serious?
It's called Elementary.
No.
Yep.
Now, are they actually trying to do the BBC Sherlock in America, or is it just another?
It's a variation
Oh, okay.
It takes place in the modern day, and he is Sherlock Holmes.
He is Sherlock, okay.
Yeah, but he's come to New York for some reason, and Watson is...
Like Jason.
Yes.
Whatever, for some reason.
And Watson is a woman this time around, and they're going to do romantic tension, I guess.
Ah, yeah, that's great.
So yeah. It's Castle.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Johnny Lee Miller and Lucy Liu starring it, huh?
Yeah, Lucy Liu, that's right. I was trying to remember. I thought it was somebody famous.
Wow.
The trailer didn't impress me.
Joan Watson. Whoa. Wow. So cutting edge and edgy and awesome.
They should have made him an elementary school teacher.
That's right.
with a cocaine addiction.
Jeez.
Right? I mean, that's part of it, isn't it?
And he plays violin, too. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can I just say, as far as Sherlock works of Sherlock Holmes, and this is a movie I need to watch because maybe I watch again because I watched it as a younger version of myself. I remember laughing very, very hard at it, but it may not be as funny. But anyone ever remember Without a Clue? It's starring Michael Caine and Ben Kingsley. I remember that being uproarious. But who knows what it? I have to see if that's aged well. But
I don't know about uproarious, but it's more like clever, witty.
Well, I laughed very hard. So maybe the clever and witty is the fact that I was young and dumb. But all right, yeah, I recommend that. I don't even know if that's like. Can even be tracked down anywhere. It's one of those movies.
They released it on DVD. It was just a full frame only, not widescreen.
Yep.
And with no extras or anything, so they just really cheaped out on the DVD.
That's right.
So we, without a clue, fans are still waiting for the deluxe 3D.
Give us the criterion edition. That we want.
Exactly.
There is a Sherlock Holmes movie on Netflix, but it's Dudley Moore and Peter Cook. What is that? I'm gonna have to look that up.
Don't know if I'm familiar with that one.
Yeah. I think it was Hound of the Baskervilles. But they did it as a comedy. Talk amongst yourselves. I'll go and look at
it. Yeah.
I'm surprised I haven't seen that.
It's a triple feature DVD set with Without a Clue. I don't know if that's in widescreen or not.
Hmm.
It's paired with a couple other shows. I mean, that's the only way to get a widescreen version of Sudden Death. You have to buy the Jean-Claude Van Damme.
1978, Hound of the Baskervilles, written and directed by Paul Morrissey. And Peter Cook and Dudley Moore. Peter Cook is Sherlock and Dudley Moore is Watson.
Wow, that's the three very interesting personalities there coming together to make a Sherlock Holmes movie.
It's on Netflix Instant. So
it's either brilliant or it's a total train wreck.
For some reason, Mac, I think of you as the Sherlock Holmes expert in the group, so I'll ask you this. Is there going to be a consistent series of remakes and variations, or are we in like a modern... that golden age, but is there something that kicked off this modern Sherlock Holmes craze? Because you got like the Robert Downey Jr. movie, this TV series. Last year I read a book called The Sherlockian that was pretty interesting. It was like it was a mystery where there's a group of people who sit around and debate Sherlock Holmes, and then they get involved in an actual mystery. Pretty cool. But I mean, there's all this stuff going on. What would you say is the genesis?
As far as film goes. You go back to Without a Clue, and then you jump ahead to the Robert Downey Sherlock Holmes. That was, I think, 19 years in which there was no Sherlock Holmes films being made. So it's kind of we went through a period of no interest in the character, and now we've got renewed interest in the character.
Interesting.
So it was in the valley. Now we're back on the hill. So it's kind of the next generation is discovering Sherlock. That would be my take on it.
So Sherlock, the next generation.
Yeah, there you go.
Be the next.
Okay. See, and having grown up on Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce movies, I think those two will always forever be Sherlock and Dr. Watson for me.
Yeah. My gateway drug to Sherlock was the Jeremy Brett series, which is just excellent.
Hmm. All right. Well, that's a lot. That's a generous helping of Sherlock trivia for listeners. So quick around the horn stuff you're working on of particular interest. Upcoming reviews for the site. Michael, do you have anything beyond Glorious Underdark?
I just turned in two reviews for Gremlins and Gremlins 2 on Blu-ray, Warner Brothers just re-released. I mean, they're just basically upgrades from their special edition DVD releases back in the early 2000s. So nothing too exciting there. But the films hold up incredibly well, and I am an unabashed Joe Dante fan, so... kind of sitting through these again and listening to his commentaries, I was in a hog heaven, so love it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mac?
I got another Doctor Who release here. This one from all the way back in 1979. It's Doctor Who Nightmare of Eden. So the Doctor and Romana find themselves on board two spaceships that have fused together. There's mystery and there's monsters and there's laser guns and so basically everything we love about Doctor Who.
It's the Tom fourth, Baker?
Yeah, the fourth Doctor, Tom Baker.
Okay.
It's really fun. It's just howlingly low budget, but that's part of the fun, I guess.
Do we have a start date for the next series of the modern Doctor Who?
I'm not sure, because I play catch-up on those with the DVDs and the Netflix, so I don't get to see them as they are.
Since I've been tearing through the new Doctor Who series, I've asked a question. Were the old series, were the Daleks as omnipresent as they have been in like the last whatever 5-6 seasons? I'm getting a little burned out on the Daleks, maybe because I'm watching it so fast.
Well, they are the number one nemesis.
Right.
About, I would say, roughly once a year, the Daleks would show up and cause trouble.
Yes, I guess that's still pretty much
the same.
You know, they're the most popular villains. Everyone loves to see them, so, you know, the creators want to make the most of them.
Almost everyone.
If you've run into Davros yet, they introduced Davros, and then he was popular, and then every Dalek episode have to have Davros in it as well. And so, yeah, they're kind of, I mean, they're the number one arch nemesis, so better get used to them.
Yeah, I got sick of the Cybermen, too.
Oh, yeah.
Cybermen, yeah.
All right, I drifted off for the last few minutes there, so.
Dave, we gotta turn you into a Whovian.
I can't just, I don't know. Here and I were shown like the pilot episode of the whole, you know, the whole reboot at a friend's house, and it just didn't grab us, and we've never gone back since. So who knows what we're missing? But yeah, I mean, those metal tornadoes aren't going to watch themselves back. So. We don't have a lot of time around here. So is it to Eric? You got anything to?
Yeah, it's to me. Since I wasn't on last week, I'll talk about what I reviewed last week. It's a movie called Chronicle, which is it's ostensibly a found footage movie, although they play very fast and loose with that. It's about three teenage boys who discover this glowing object in a cave, and it gives them telekinetic powers. So it's basically a found footage superhero movie, done in a sort of grounded way. And I think it's probably a little bit better than that sounds. I think because they don't try to go for you know, don't try to stick to that too closely. It was shot in a pretty low budget, directed by first-time director, though a long-time editor named Joe Trank, and co-written by Max Landis, son of John Landis. So two young guys, and they did quite a good job. It's a really kind of core, you know, character-driven story that's pretty compelling. And there's a if you really are in it for the big action, there's a pretty cool climax at the end. But I think it's worth checking out.
Well, those guys who made Chronicle, they're the ones who are going to be rebooting my beloved Fantastic Four.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
well, hey, why not?
I'm really curious to see what they can do with the Chronicle and hope they can.
I mean, it's one of those things where they can't do worse, right? So,
Sorry, go ahead. Here you go. Quick ambush topics for you guys, okay? Who would you cast for the Fantastic Four? So, Mac, you have to choose, Choose one hero. Who would you cast? Choose one, and we'll each grab one. So go
on. Oh, boy. Let me think.
I'll sign you one. Mr. Fantastic.
Mr. Fantastic. Yeah, that's the toughie. Someone really, you know, someone who's really classy, someone who can do really smart. Not Liam Neeson, because everyone goes name. Benedict Cumberbatch. Maybe in another 5 to 10 years, Benedict Cumberbatch.
John Hamm.
I'm not familiar with his work.
I can see him with a glass of bourbon or something, reaching out there, extending to get a cigarette. No one jumps to mind. Clooney?
Not really. You know, he's a little too. He's not stately enough. He's more too. He's too L.A. Come back to me. I'll think about it.
Okay. Yours, Michael, is going to be Thing.
Oh, jeez. You know, Michael Chiklis was a good choice because he kind of had that presence about him. But I'm trying to think of a big guy that's bombastic. You know, the tendency would be to cast an athlete or a wrestler or something.
That's a good point. Like a Vinnie Jones or...
Oh, God, no, not Vinnie Jones. talk about being overused.
Yeah,
guys, and everything.
Yeah, he's kind of...
What about Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Oh, daring cast. Daring.
Okay, Dave, to play Reed, how about Pierce Brosnan?
Not bad.
Ooh.
That's not bad. So we got Pierce Brosnan, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Eric.
I'm sold right there.
How about you? Human Torch. Which is Chris Evans, right, in the other movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like Chris Evans. I never saw the Fantastic Four movies, so... how about Human Torch? So, a guy who's young. How about... this is terrible. I don't know. I'm so bad with this stuff. How about... Okay.
Justin Bieber.
See, Chris Evans was in Scott Pilgrim. Who else was in Scott Pilgrim? How about Michael Cera? No, he's not very good.
What about Jeremy Renner?
No. How about Donald Glover? Finally get out. Get a black, a black human torch.
That is the way people want it.
They want it for Spider-Man. Turn it around, he becomes a human torch. I think he'd be good. I think he'd be great.
Michael, did you say Jeremy Renner? Was that
yeah.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea either.
And I just got the perfect Doctor Doom. Michael Fassbender.
Oof.
Where?
Well, that guy is in everything.
Yeah, he is. He's going to be overexposed really quickly.
But that, he would be good at Dr. Doom. So for me, for the Invisible Girl, boy, take your pick out of one of the fine young actresses and Agency families, make it or break it. Take your pick.
I thought you were going to say Zooey Deschanel.
Can the Fantastic Four take that much hipster snark? I don't know. That's what's been missing in those two movies.
She'd sing a lot, but it'd be
she would sing a lot. Yeah, cute little songs. Yeah. All right, now that topic imploded. So Mac, take us to the next level.
Yeah, let's take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. And you folks at home listening can play along. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming releases tab, and then we're going to scroll down and hit the link for the cover art gallery for June 5th. And we'll just talk about whatever we see on the list here.
That looks like a re-release of Arn, the Knight Templar, right?
Which
was reviewed a long time ago. Yeah, Arn. Wait a minute.
Arn the Complete Series?
I take that back. There was a movie that I reviewed called Arn the Knight Templar, but you're right. This is a TV show.
So Arn is officially a franchise now.
I guess. Wow.
Mm. Oh, you got the fourth season of Breaking Bad, which is by far and away my favorite show on TV right now. If you haven't watched it, you got to watch it.
Want to see. Everyone keeps saying good things about it.
The first three seasons are on Netflix. Four should, I think, be hitting soon. I mean, you know, watch it on DVD and Blu-ray if you can. But I think the way that AMC has their deal with Netflix is that before the new season starts, they add the previous season. So I would be surprised if four hits soon.
Actually, a large amount of larger name stuff. There's John Carter, right, starring our best buddy Mac Taylor Kitsch from Battleship, right?
Star of Battleship, yeah. I don't know. They got really mixed reviews. Some people said they loved it. Other people said it was middling. It did poor at the box office.
It did legendarily poor at the box.
Yeah, but I'm curious to see it just to so I can have my own opinion.
And that's Andrew Stanton, right?
It's worth watching. I wasn't crazy about it, but. Watch it yourself. I think you may have a different experience than I did.
Most disturbing cover art of the week has got to go to the complete eighth season of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, that is disturbing. I do have that in person, and I can attest to the disturbingness. But, I don't know. I think a close second is the Journey 2 cover where The Rock is riding a bee.
Oh my God, you're right.
In fact, all three of those cover arts are terrible.
Yeah, it's like they're kind of lightly jogging away from the giant monster.
I don't know if a bunch of Blu-rays that I don't know if have been released before. They must have. They must be re-releases. Like Hoosiers on Blu-ray, that has to be.
Yeah, we're going through re-release stuff now. So Fox is going through and grabbing stuff. Universal for their 100th anniversary is re-releasing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I gotta think. We've seen the stuff before.
Yeah, some of them are getting special edition, like digibook releases. Others are just, you know, double dips of the same thing. So, but they've been out of print for a while, and they're bringing them back into circulation.
Okay. Briefly, Curb Your Enthusiasm. That review obviously will be forthcoming. But a season that was different than a lot of others. There's really no kind of governing arc. I mean, Larry ends up in New York, and that's pretty much it. There's no kind of long-distance story. So, it's kind of hit and miss, still very funny, but there is one fantastic episode starring Bill Buckner, which is great. So I would recommend scoping out, tracking down the season just to see the Bill Buckner episode, one of my all-time favorites.
Which is really funny, because growing up in Chicago in the 70s, Bill was the Cubs' first baseman, and he was a hero to all of us. Then he gets to Boston, and he's a dog.
He's redeemed in this.
All right.
So, I don't know what Fairly Legal is, but I'm not sure if I want to.
Is that a USA show?
Is that gets play in the Astros Lager household?
We watch one episode. We haven't we haven't watched a whole lot of USA. We still watch White Collar and Psych, but that's kind of it.
Yeah, I've lost track of Burn Notice and who, you know, although I'm not sure.
She is not a lawyer, but she's a mediator. So you're seeing things from a...
Ah, so she's fairly legal.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, well...
Did you guys watch Falling Skies, the TNT show?
Yeah, I never saw it. Yeah, it kind of came and went kind of quick. But there is a second season, right? Yeah.
There is. It's another one of those dystopian type, like Jericho and things like that, where the world has kind of come apart at the seams. And it's a little bit Battlestar Galactic. It kind of draws from all these different shows. And I watched a handful of episodes with my brother, and some of it was intriguing, but then I couldn't get past the fact that it was Noah Wiley, and he just bugged the shit out of me.
You mean Noah Wiley from Donnie Darko?
Was he in Donnie Darko?
Yeah.
Drew Barrymore, too.
Did I? This must have been a hallucination or something, but Jericho's not coming to Netflix, is it? As a new series? No, right?
No, I just show him the first two seasons.
Okay, all right. I must have been hallucinating that. All right, well, lots to choose from here, so please feel free to purchase and support The Verdict. And if you check out, if you get the Arn the Knight Templar, please let me know. I'd be interested to see if it's faithful to the movie. Actually, I would not care. Okay, I never really see the sounding DVD release of the week. Mac.
Let's see. American Pickers.
Michael?
For people who are into unkempt body hair, let's go with Prairie Love.
All right, Eric?
Yeah, I'll go Fairly Legal.
That's good. That works. I guess I'll go Flare Up.
Yeah.
You can get an ointment for that.
For a very, very specific audience.
Yeah, the cover art.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I was going to go for what seemed to be the most obvious, but I don't know how to – I feel like I should know how to pronounce the name. Is it Koch Brothers? Koch?
I don't know.
Koch Brothers Exposed, whatever it is. I feel like I should know because they're in the news, but I don't, you know.
I will say Star of Midnight sounds like a euphemism, right? Johnny, did you see her Star of Midnight? Ambush topics, you know how this works, random stuff thrown at each other. Michael, we'll put you on the hot seat first.
Since I've been stuck in cartoon world, what would be a cartoon that you absolutely loved as a kid but now cannot stand as an adult?
Good stuff.
It's a tricky one. I tend to maintain my loyalty to the old film.
Me too. Yeah, that's a tough one for Mac. I'll go first. I don't know if I can't stand it, but it is utterly incoherent, and I don't understand how I ever thought it was good at all. Okay. I was going to say the Smurfs, but the real answer just popped into my head. Jabberjaw.
that do underwater.
Yeah, that, I mean, Jabberjaw sucks. That character... sucks. He really is awful. I don't know what they were ripping off. I can't remember. They were ripping him off of someone. I don't know.
Is it like, Curly from the Three Stooges?
Yeah, it's Curly from the Three Stooges. That's what it was.
But that was what Hanna-Barbera did with all these characters. So I was watching this Inch-High Private Eye.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember Inch-High.
But he did this Jack Benny impersonation, which just got annoying after the first episode, and they carry these things through. But they tried to pick a famous celebrity that people could identify with and then run with it.
I thought Inch-High Private Eye was Don Adams from Get Smart.
Nope. It's Lenny Weintraub who did Scrappy-Doo and HR stuff. Yeah.
My memory's playing tricks on me.
Yeah.
Looking back at my review, there's some Rodney Dangerfield toss in there as well.
Oh, I can see that.
So terrible. Oh, Jabberjaw sucks. Plus, it bugs me, like, I know I shouldn't overthink it, but just the physics of, you know, the undersea technology and running around like no one's wearing any helmets. I have no idea what's going on. You know, Jabberjaw's breathing out of breathing air. Who knows? And then the music was terrible. You know, and why are they playing music? Why are they a band? I don't understand. it doesn't make sense. All right, who can best this, please?
This is a tough one. I mean, I can think of cartoons that I disliked back then and still dislike now, but...
No, you gotta throw a cartoon under the bus.
Oh, man.
You know, big video game fan as a kid, but I think the Super Mario Brothers, in any of their animated form, is probably pretty impossible to watch now.
That cartoon was hurt.
Yeah, I will not sacrifice Captain M the Game Master.
Really? Because I was
only,
just gonna.
I don't know.
That is so. I mean, I love that show too, but watching it, watching Captain N again as a review, just a shameless 30-minute Nintendo commercial. I mean, shameless. So I don't know.
Right, and I guess I haven't rewatched it, so that's why I'm giving it a pass.
Okay. No, no. I mean, when Game Boy showed up as part of it.
I mean, like I still would have a tough time really coming down too hard on the Wizard. That's how deep my Nintendo goes, I think. I mean, like, that was a...
The Wizard was an infomercial, essentially.
Absolutely. But it had Super Mario 3.
Man, Nintendo at the height of its powers. And everyone just drank it up. Oh, man.
I mean, nowadays it would have to be like, what, like a Wii Sports TV show? I don't know what they...
I don't know what the equivalents of either of those are. I mean,
they would find a way. The little Wiimote would come to life and talk and fly around the room and solve everyone's problems. And
we live in different times. It's a different world.
The intro to Captain N is this live action shot of this dork in a Nintendo, you know, just right. Playing his Nintendo, having a great time. And he gets sucked into this magical world.
So it's Tron.
It is like Tron. Yeah. It's like Tron.
All right. I used to watch the. Speaking of cartoons based on video games, I used to watch the Dragon's Lair cartoon.
Yes.
All right. Which was only on for the one season. But one of the gimmicks was that you know, you'd come to a commercial and you'd have to guess how the hero Dirk would get out of whatever cliffhanger there was as it went to a commercial. And it came back and it would show you what happened if Dirk made the wrong decision.
Yes.
And he'd get himself killed. And then he does the right decision and the story goes on. And that was always a fun game for me and my friend to play when we were kids, because we would actually try to guess what would he do. And when I went back and rewatched the show recently on the DVD, so many of those cliffhangers and the decisions, they were such like cop outs. You know? Like, you know, Dirk gets out of trouble by swinging across the room on a chandelier, except they never showed us a chandelier beforehand. So how's a little kid supposed to just guess that? Stuff like that really ticked me off.
Yeah, kind of like the Encyclopedia Brown ruse, right?
Absolutely.
Like they try to think you can solve this case, kid, but it's just the most obscure detail. It doesn't make any sense, really.
Right.
And all those suckers end up confessing to the crimes, even though maybe they just misspoke. You know?
Right. I still remember one that came down to blueberry pie.
I remember one where Bugs Meany was riding in the back of a truck with some kind of glass vase or something, and it fell out of the truck and broke. And that was his story, but it's like Peter Brown's told him that if the truck actually hit the brakes, it would not fall out of the truck, it would fall forward, you know? And poor Bugs wasn't agile enough with his wit to work around that lie. So.
There was another Bugs Meany one where he stole, I think, a wooden nickel.
Yeah.
And Second Peter Brown got it because he was eating a hot dog with sauerkraut and mustard.
Okay.
And he figured out that the coin was hidden under the sauerkraut because he put the mustard on top of the sauerkraut, and no real hot dog lover would put the sauerkraut under the mustard.
It
would be the mustard
right
first
that.
And then the sauerkraut.
Right about that. You're he right about it. That.
I remember that one. Oh, Donald J. Sobel.
Donald
you
J. Sobel.
That.
Is he still with us? I don't know. Those were written like the 40s, but.
It's probably a pen name for a woman. I don't know. Who knows? I can't even tell anymore.
I would defy you to read those now and try to solve some of those characters.
There's a reboot waiting to happen.
Oh, man.
Well, they did it. You know, they back in the day, they did it. It's like a modern Encyclopedia Brown. I mean, this was like early 90s or so, I think.
Yeah, that was pretty awful. Yeah.
Do you know
what
I'm talking about, Mac? You remember that one?
His dog, and the dog was actually a puppet instead of a real dog.
What? I don't think so. I don't think so. That's not. I think we're thinking of something different.
No,
you must be thinking of the fever dream you had.
What we need is Encyclopedia Brown CSI. CBS's fall.
Does Encyclopedia Brown really have that any pop culture staying power that we think it does, Ben?
I don't think so, Dave. I mean, Dave, encyclopedias don't have pop culture staying power. I think everyone knows what those are anymore.
That's true.
It has to be like, Google Jones or something.
So some quick research. Encyclopedia Brown, the TV series, 1989. That's when it ran.
Taylor Negron was in it.
Who?
Comedian Taylor Negron.
Okay, there you go.
Was that on HBO?
I think so.
I think maybe. I don't know.
Back when HBO was like kid shows and sporting events and not sex positions.
Yeah, that's right.
Larry David.
Okay. I think, Michael, back to you, right?
Yeah, well, I mean,
what was your cartoon, right?
Underdog and Tennessee Tuxedo were blatantly created to sell cereal to kids. I mean, that's all they were created for. The company that founded that was their mission, and they went and did it for, what, 3 seasons or whatever, and when they were done, they folded, and that was that. But watching them now, as a kid, I used to watch them at lunchtime, awesome, loved it. Now the two main, like Underdog and Tennessee Tuxedo, cannot stand it. It gives me a migraine just watching these things over and over again. And yet the little tag-on shows that they used to do, like Commander McBragg and Klondike Cat and Tuda the Turtle, those things still hold up for me and are still funny. So go figure that the stuff that they were really putting their energy into sucks out loud, and yet the little throwaway things are hilarious.
Yeah, Commander McBragg was the best.
Yeah. And they were just jokes, like, you know, things that your grandfather would tell you, but they turned it into little 3-minute of adventures of this guy.
Yeah, gag cartoons.
Yeah, exactly. And they work.
Okay, quick ambush topic. Ambush topic. Favorite cartoon TV show themed breakfast cereal?
Mr. T.
Oh, was there Mr. T breakfast cereal? Tease, right? Little Tease?
Yeah, yeah. Perhaps you've seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Cartoon... it was always like Captain Crunch knockoffs at our house.
Oh, yeah.
Or King Vitamin.
Ouch.
King Vitamin is rough.
There was a great Donkey Kong cereal, where they were all little barrels.
Oh, yeah. Which I think is basically just Captain Crunch with a new logo, right?
More or less, yeah.
Yeah, I just thought Cocoa Pebbles were a favorite.
And they're still around. You know?
Every once in a while when I feel, you know, really destructive, I guess I'll pick up a box. I try not to.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say, I don't know. I'll go with ice cream cone cereal. It's not based on the cartoon, but the commercials are animated. So
you ever watched The Adventures of Ice Cream Cone?
Oh yeah, that was a good one. Yes.
NBC Saturday mornings at 9:45.
By the way, I recommend doing a Google image search on King Vitamin kind of cereal. To see the face I was staring into as I was eating my cereal.
Jeez.
Okay.
The breakfast cereal designed by nutritionists for kids.
We need a model for the shoot. Hey, my dad's in town.
Was it like a hippie with a paper crown or something?
King Vitamin?
Yeah, I don't know. I should probably do the image.
That's all right. Smack, what do you got? All right,
okay.
I have no idea where we are. We've
gotten through one topic, right?
Smack, putting on.
All right. From movies or TV, Craziness at Rock Concerts.
Okay, this may... I'm going to stretch this a little bit, Mac, if you mind. I think in Hellraiser 3, Hell on Earth, I believe. Yes. It's close to rock concerts. It's this big rave at a nightclub, you know, and... the DJ is just spinning his tracks like crazy, but Pinhead and crew show up, start wiping people out. I just remember the scene with the DJ, the CDs levitate in the air, and then impale themselves on his face. Do you remember that? Anyone remember that?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of, I kind of perverted your ambush topic, but yeah.
It became turned into a new Cenobite.
Oh, he did.
CD Cenobite.
Nice.
Throws to like a monster with CDs sticking out of his face.
Nice. CD Cenobite.
Does anybody else confuse Cenobites with Cinnabon, or is that just?
But it'd be hilarious if you saw some Cenobites working at a Cinnabon.
No. Hilarious. Why don't they do that? That would be great.
That's a funny. There's a funnier diet.
All right, I got one word. Stonehenge.
Ah, good.
Good. That's all I'm going to say.
That's good.
This isn't I say enough.
Yeah, and plus we don't want to start getting into a Spinal Tap.
No, we don't.
So no one wants that.
I will go with the Palace Hotel Ballroom in Lake Wazapamonte, where the Blues Brothers gave their final show.
Oh, good stuff.
I'm going to go with the final concert at the big finale, the big happy ending in Howard the Duck.
You know, I was thinking of that, Mac. I was thinking of that. So, congratulations. And,
What is it? The Cherry Bombs are on stage doing their song. And
they were the Cherry Bombs, yes.
And Howard accidentally falls on stage. He picks up the guitar, starts playing it.
Yeah.
Plays it with, it's supposed to be he's playing it with his teeth, but he's actually playing it with his beak. I'm not quite sure how he did that.
And the more disturbing thing is that human-duck intercourse is implied in that whole... the way they're looking at each other, it's totally that relationship's gone to the next level, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that one scene where it looks like they're gonna, you know, go there and then they get interrupted.
That's true.
Right.
which I think is referred to as being flock blocked. Is that a thing? I don't know.
Lucas's world, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Being interrupted by Tim Robbins, no less, right? Is that Tim Robbins who crashed that party?
Well, it's
the scientists who came.
Ah, yes.
Now I'm going to have to watch it again.
Is that a blurb release?
You don't have to.
Is that made on blurb? I just want to see one time the unblurred duck breasts that TV version denied me.
It was on Netflix. I suffered through it on Netflix about a year ago, and it was painful.
It is rough.
It is so slow.
Yeah, it's rough. All right. So I will go here. Assault with a deadly appliance.
All right, well, I'm going to jump in before Michael does. I'm going to Gremlins. And either the microwave or the blender. Take your pick.
Yes.
It's just there's two with one. Very nice.
Oh.
I guess a real obvious one would be Marion in the frying pan in the Raiders of the Lost Ark bangs the guy over the head with a pan.
That's
right. A pot or whatever it was.
Yes. Very good. Is that pan an appliance?
I think it's more cookware. It's
cookware.
Oh.
Well, I hate to be a cookware.
We'll take it.
You apply it to heat, so go ahead. Go for
there
it.
You go.
Well, we could go with the lead-lined refrigerator from Indiana Jones and Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
That's good, man. That works.
God, that movie sucks so bad.
Yeah, the deadliness was that it attacked your body. Well, mine will be a refrigerator as well, but this is in The Raid Redemption, which I am constantly looking for a release date on. Any insider news on that by any chance, Michael?
I have not heard.
Oh, yeah, I'm dying for that. But anyway, there's a great scene where our hero boxed in by the bad guys and they're trying to break through a room. He takes out a propane tank, opens up the nozzle, throws it in a fridge, faces it towards the door, lights it, and then just turns it into kind of a mini nuke. That's pretty sweet. Yeah.
Well, I suppose any refrigerator then, Dave, you know, from the 80s
that's true.
Killed Punky Brewster. So many, I think.
So many. How many lives were lost? That's right.
Yes.
Probably like two.
Sorry. Now,
and one of those wasn't even real.
Now, right. You know, Michael, since we have you on the horn and we've broached this subject, I think it's time that DVD Verdict adopted a charity to bring awareness, or a cause maybe, to bring awareness. Hmm. And can we talk about the deadly blight of abandoned refrigerators? I mean, we've talked about it on this podcast at length, but I think it's time to really make it, you know, maybe get something, how do we build awareness, you know, using the power of the site, you know?
How different are refrigerators today than they were back then? Because you have side-by-sides now, and those are kind of hard to, you know.
That's right. You're not going to fit some of these fat kids I see right
now. Exactly.
That's right.
So maybe that's the whole thing. We go with skinnier refrigerators, and it'll keep kids from getting trapped inside.
I think we got to go with a big, like, celebrity song. Like, we all sing a verse, like, you know, right. Hinges Off or something like that. Like, you
fridge
know.
Aid. Yeah.
Exactly. If you're going to throw your fridge away, you got to take the door right off. That kind of thing.
Excellent. Yes. So, I don't know. Just
if we get Cyndi Lauper, she must be available, right?
Yeah. Commercial. Curtis Bush, he might be game.
That'd be great.
Maybe Corey Davis. Celebrity spokesperson, right? So, Maury Davis?
Well, I don't know if he'd actually record something for us.
Can you take
that the opening that he did for the Friday filibuster, just kind of cut it up a bit and then auto-tune it? I think that would probably
work. Davis
would work.
Because mini fridges could be deadly to the little people.
Right. Dorm-sized fridges could be deadly to the little people. This is like a cross. I mean, this affects so many people. So I don't know. We'll noodle with this. We'll work on this, and we'll get to it. So
bridge across America.
All right. Okay. So wrap us up, Eric.
All right. I'm trying to think of a less depressing sound of name for this, but I'll go for it anyway. animal abuse. That, you know, you can be lighthearted about the animal abuse, but...
ASPCA on line two.
Look, we got our plates full with the fridge stuff right now. We don't have time to worry about that.
Okay, a very funny Saturday Night Live skit. That's not a skit. It was one of their commercials. I believe with Will Ferrell. He's verbally abusing his pets. Do you recall this one?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, he's like psychologically, yeah, he's emotionally abusing his dogs as a way to like train him or something, I believe. So that's you might have to do a Google search on that, but I believe that's what it was. It was quite funny. So,
well, I think sticking with SNL, Toons has died in every one good of his one. Oh, yes. Sketches, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
There's a great bit in Raising Arizona when Nicolas Cage, H.I. McDonough, is having his dream. That's his vision of the lone biker of the apocalypse. And we see this guy is, you know, a huge beefy guy riding the motorcycle down the desert road. And McDonough tells us that he liked to kill little things. Guy pulls out a grenade, tosses it to the side of the road. Cute little bunny rabbit pops up with a grenade and sniffs it. And then we get the long shot of just the desert, and we see the explosion go off in the distance.
As far as fictional animal abuse, I mean, nothing is yet to match the wanton horse slaughter that Braveheart delivered to him.
Right. Or I suppose the bulls being set on fire in 13 Assassins.
That's good, right?
Yeah.
Actually, I'll save my actual one for a bit, because Dave, you reminded me of a sketch from a very different sketch comedy show we both love, Monkey Torture from the State.
Yeah, good. Excellent. Excellent.
Would Avatar qualify as an entire movie about animal abuse?
Are you thinking of the audience or the animals?
Yeah. Yes.
The Homo sapiens, correct, yes. So you think the cat people are the cat...
See, I don't know.
It's people like you, Michael, who like delegitimize the Na'vi race by calling them animals.
So if you're a fan of the Na'vis, are you a cat person?
You are a cat person.
So that works.
Yes.
Okay. Well, for mine, I'm going back to the 80s. It just randomly popped into my head. There was a movie, I think it was on the Disney Channel, because they showed all these movies, and I'd watch them and record them and watch them a million times. There was a movie called Ruskies.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, there was I barely remember any of it, but it's like these kids. There's a Russian sailor that like washes ashore, and these
kids find this movie. Yeah,
and, you know, it's all during the Cold War and stuff. But there's this one scene where there's jerkwad like army guy. They're in Florida, I think. I'm like, you know, they've caught this manta ray, and it's on the pier. He has his foot on top of the manta ray, and he's pouring beer on it. And then the Russian guy, you know, steps in to defend the manta ray's honor, and that's how he gets caught. But it's just this bizarre image of like some guy pouring beer on a manta ray, which you just don't see enough of that. I'm saying, you know, nice. That kind of hard hitting,
right?
You know, it's really weighty thematic stuff. So.
All right, and on that note, actually, speaking awesome. Of Avatar, we didn't talk about this yet, did we? But like. James Cameron's in the Avatar making business now.
Yeah, that's all he's going to do anymore. Yeah. Three more Avatar movies.
Fantastic. So he has so much to teach us, and that's like a direct quote, by the way. So
yeah.
He says that every story he wants to tell, he can tell within the world of Avatar.
Yeah, right.
And so I just make all his movies, but just cast Na'vi in the parts. So you can like, you know, it could be you know, Terminator 6, but it could be all with Na'vi or something like that.
I don't get many ideas.
Na'vi aliens, you know, Na'vi xenomorphs, maybe something like that.
True Lies with a Na'vi flying a hair.
Maybe another version of Glenn Ross, just with Na'vis.
The Na'vis formed the Blue Jihad, right, to destroy and Arnold Schwarzenegger gets a return. I think there's a lot of potential there.
Would he then cast like Schwarzenegger and Stallone as Na'vis?
Oh, I'd love to see those. That'd be great. Oh boy. Okay. On that disturbing note, thank you for listening. Blah blah blah. Mac, take us away.
Why are you wearing that stupid man suit?